Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Of all of the creatures in the sea, they are among the most intelligent, the most human-sized, and one of the few who, like us, breathes air and weans their young on milk. So it's hardly surprising that humans have long had a special relationship with dolphins. And for the last year and a half, my next guest has been studying the dolphins in Irish waters, tracking our evolving and complicated relationship with these seafaring mammals. Documentary maker Ken O'Sullivan is back with us. Lovely to have you,
Ken. Thank you, Claire, as ever.
So the relationship for you with dolphins and trying to understand this relationship between humans and dolphins. When did this first begin? Did this begin for you when you started to film underwater?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, pretty much any time we go to sea, we encounter properly common dolphins. But for me, I suppose on a personal level, about more than 20 years ago when I was starting to explore the underwater world around Ireland, we had a solitary bottlenose dolphin that showed up off the coast of Clare and became a kind of a subject matter for me. And, it, you know, it's a fantastic subject, obviously, because these are beautiful animals and we have great access. And then that, I suppose, in some ways led me out into deeper waters, into other species like common dolphins and out into the deep ocean. So, look, they're beautiful, charismatic animals. We have a very rich ocean world in Ireland, full of, I think we have four or five different species of dolphins, but most commonly common and bottlenose dolphins. So we're setting out to take a natural history documentary about these animals, but also the complex relationship between humans and dolphins and our understanding of the animals.
Yeah, because lots of people listening to this, they'll think about their first memory of dolphins, probably from the TV show Flipper way back when, which we can hear a little bit now. You hear this very familiar noise. And then we had Skipper, which came after that, or Skippy. Rather.
And Lassie.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hear it there now. You see all the memories come flooding back. That really influences people's perception of an animal, doesn't it, when it's represented
totally
in a way like that?
Well, I mean, this is, I suppose, the power of media. So it's film and TV. I was very lucky, Claire, thanks to MGM, I got to, as part of my research, to get access to all of the Flipper series, which actually dates from 1964. And anyone hasn't seen it, it's the Portus Ricks and his two sons, Bud and Sandy. So they live in a fictional marine park in Florida, and they have this supposedly wild dolphin, and they're good looking all American kids, and at any chance they take their kid off and jump in and go Flipper,
and
sure enough along he comes, and he's amazing, right? So I watched this one episode where there's a scientist who's gone down in a small submersible to catch a poisonous scorpion fish, brought his bottle of antivenom. Sure enough, when he goes diving, he gets stung, gets back to the submarine, and who's figured out pardon me, that he's passed out and unconscious. Flipper comes to the rescue. Pardon me. Frog in my throat here.
No, you're all right.
And
take a drink of water, because what I want to ask you about that complicated relationship, given the representation that we see on screen, we watch that and we think, well, that's a lovely, cuddly, almost animal, and one that we'd love to have as a pet, if only we could see one. And then as we get older, we think, well, we'd love to go and swim with dolphins, and that opportunity is presented to us. Should we be doing things like that?
Well, I mean, we shouldn't. I think my own train of thought would be that we should let wild animals be wild animals. Mm-hmm. And absolutely right. This is what has influenced us. Things like Flipper and the Big Blue movie. And when I was 10 or 11, I went to on a family holiday to London to stay with my aunt and uncle. And we went to one of these aquarium parks. And, you know, they had two bottlenose dolphins. And this lucky kid got to swim up on the dolphin's back, you know. And that's informed our understanding of these animals. And of course, now we know that these aquariums, these parks, it was terrible stuff that was going on. So if we come back to Flipper, the story has come out. There were actually three flippers. There were three animals. And the guy who used to train them was a guy called Rick O'Barry. And, you know, he brought out the story that, you know, for dolphins, breathing is a conscious decision. It's involuntary. So for us, let's say it's voluntary. For us, breathing is involuntary. And at least two of the flippers actually stopped breathing. In other words, they committed suicide. And that was quite common in these aquaria, in these wildlife parks. And we now know that their dolphins were being starved, so to teach them to do these amazing tricks, that they would jump through hoops and do coordinated, synchronized swimming. Shocking kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, that informed our understanding of what the animals are. So look, they're beautiful animals, Claire. It's an absolute privilege to have been filming them this last year and a half and to tell the story of them. But they're wild animals and they live in the natural world.
So, I mean, teaching them tricks and, you know, starving them and all that, so they'll jump through a hoop. That's one thing. But do they like interaction with humans on a very basic level? Because we do see them trailing after the boats and they look as though they're so happy to see humans and to interact with us. Is that also a myth?
Well, I mean, this is, there are various scenarios. You know, common dolphins, for example, every day we're out soon, they'll come to the boat and they'll bow ride at the front of the bow of the boat. They'll stay for a little while and then they're gone, right? Mm. Bottlenose dolphins, all dolphins, I suppose, are social animals. They live in social family groups. And for some reason, Ireland has a disproportionate number of solitary bottlenose dolphins. So these are animals that have become separated from their pod for some reason. And what we have is that people seek them out. And if you work quite hard at it, you can develop a bond, a connection with these animals. And there are people who do it for various reasons. I've been lucky enough to film the dolphin on the Clare Coast. I don't touch the animal. I don't chase after the animal. I don't swim with her that much anymore. That's my belief, is that we should let them be wild animals and not be scratching them and swimming them. Because, OK, this is great when one person does it, but you put up a social media account with thousands of followers and hundreds of people come to try and do it. And there was traffic chaos at one point. You know, we've heard a story, the local police were considering shooting the dolphin because she was causing traffic chaos. But usually, solitary bottlenose dolphins that engage with humans end up in difficult situations. In fact, as research shows, 70 or 80% of them probably end up dead because we're actually the dangerous species.
Right, so we should keep the best practices to keep your distance.
I think, you know, like all wild animals, let's leave them alone. Let's mm-hmm. let them be wild animals and let them make their decisions.
So this documentary that you have coming up, it's been how long in the making?
Oh, look, it's been in my head for years, Claire. And we've been in production, I suppose, well, officially for about, you know, this year, but we were doing a lot of work on it last year while we were waiting to find out about that. And we'll be delivering in May of next year. And so when it goes out after that, I'm not sure. But it's, you know, it's a great story to be able to tell in some ways. It's challenging as we've gone on because we've filmed some sequences that we think are new that, you know, scientists may have known about but haven't been documented. So unfortunately, as I said, they live in a natural world that's quite dangerous. And bottlenose dolphins, for example, engage in gang rape of females.
So the cutesy legend around the dolphins, really, are you trying to dispel that
notion?
Well,
I'm trying to tell their story. You know, I remember hearing Fergal Keane saying years ago as a journalist, you know, you don't set out to tell a story in balance. It. You set out to tell the story as best you can from what you see. So, for example, coming back to that, you know, we've seen lovely intimate behaviour between bottlenose dolphins, you know, where they're literally touching the fins and a pair going along for quite a long while. We've also seen where, you know, three males are chasing after a female, clearly trying to get access to them and gang rape. It's well documented in the dolphin world. The question is that, or the point is that we probably shouldn't put human characteristics on this.
And which is what we have done up to now.
Which is what we have done and brings us back to Flipper, Big Blue,
yeah,
et cetera.
But when you say, well, this has been in my head for years wanting to make this, has that always been to the forefront of your mind that people have a notion about dolphins that often isn't correct?
Well, you know, my first encounter with dolphins was when I was 11, and I saw this, you know, thing in a national in an aquarium in the UK, and this kid my age swimming on the dolphin's back. That's all I wanted to do, you know.
Of course.
And then when this dolphin showed up off the Clare Coast and we got access, you know, we all thought this. But then as you start to read, work with scientists and think about it a little bit more, it's, you know, aside, then I start to see loads of people coming in and lunging on top of the animal and scratching and touching the animal, you know, emotionally. You know, that's kind of wrong. But as you understand it, look, it's a bit like if you had a fox that came, was out the back of your house and you kept putting food out and then you kept getting closer to the animal every day, you can habituate that animal to your presence. That's not good for a wild animal. So it just comes back to we should just leave these animals to be alone. There's lots of challenges that dolphins face now on an existential basis. So we've had lots of common dolphins washing up dead in Ireland.
Yeah.
We were down in the Bay of Biscay last week interviewing scientists and fishermen down there. They've had a chronic problem, 1,300 animals washing up dead. And the scientists have done this work where, you know, whatever comes ashore, you probably multiply that by 7 or 8 because that only that many came in. So they're killing thousands of dolphins. The French government have done something about it. We're a bit behind that in Ireland.
All right. Well, look, we look forward to seeing the fruits of your labour whenever we do, sometime in the next year when that documentary comes to air. But Ken, always lovely to see you. That's Ken O'Sullivan.